Good Arizona morning to you all, and what a beautiful day it is today. No matter what part of the great state you're in, it has blue skies, the weather's got that nice little fall nip in the air, and new shoots from the ryegrass are coming up, little starter plants are peeking through the soil, starting to leaf out, and man, it's just a great time to be in Arizona in the outdoors. And we have Mr. Greg Peterson down there, the hands is black as the soil he's tilling.
I love it. I love it.
All the way under the fingernails, too.
Yeah. There you go. Well, I cleaned them this morning. So. Well, and the best part is all of the, you know, all the garden goodies are coming up in my yard. I've got radishes and brassicas, which are the broccoli and cabbages, and got some cilantro and basil coming in.
Okay. Somebody needs to fire a producer. Why aren't we doing this in your yard having breakfast right now?
Let's do it, man. I'm in. I'm in.
Who missed that scheduling opportunity? And this month, we're talking urban orcharding. So
yeah.
You've got, I'm sure, a few citrus that are starting to slightly change color and
gosh,
getting ready
I'm
for the picking.
So excited. This is one of my favorite times of year when the citrus starts turning, because one of my favorite things to eat is a navel orange. You know, that I wander out in my yard and, you know, toward the middle of the end of November and grab it off the tree and it, you know, almost falls into my hand and, you know, then I peel it. I brought some last year. Remember when I had them ripe last year? The pinks and the regulars. And they're just amazing. Absolutely amazing.
And we've been doing, now that ours is starting to mature and everything, it's just, you know, if you're eating it while you're out in the orchard, just leave the peels right there on the ground. Let it do its thing.
There you go. There you go. You know, I want to bust up a myth here. There are more than two kinds of citrus in the state. People think that there are Arizona sweet oranges because that's what everybody planted 50 years ago, and the yellow grapefruits. But there are so many different kinds of citrus that ripen most of the year. So you can almost have, you know, for 6, 7, 8 months a year, you can have ripe citrus in your yard, which is so incredibly cool.
Where else could you do that?
Yeah. Hawaii, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure probably Hawaii. But.
So let's maybe go through a couple of those other varieties then. I mean, if it's not just the sweet orange and it's not just the yellow grapefruit, what other planted varieties do we have?
So we already mentioned navel oranges. There is a pink navel orange called a Caracara navel and the standard, they call it a Washington navel orange. And those ripen mid-November to about mid-January. So for about 60 days, we'll get them on the tree. The next one that is absolutely wonderfully incredible is the Trovita orange. And the Trovita is actually good for squeezing, but it's also a peeling orange. There's a few seeds in it. And it's ripe after the navel oranges. So
seeds are the best. What else would you spit at your siblings?
There you go. There you go. So the Trovita orange is absolutely wonderful. It ripens after the navel oranges. So I get about 4 months of a nice peeling orange in my yard. Mineola tangelos will come up in
Now, is
February.
That close to a cutie? My kids have been after me for a cutie, but I understand that's still a little more tropical. It's not quite desert ready.
Well, no. So here's the deal. The cutie is a brand. And it could be one of many different kinds of small tangelos or tangerines.
So I just need to order cutie bags and then go pick my own tangerines
and
bring
them
in.
There you go. There you go. There's a clementine tangerine. There's a gold nugget tangerine. There's a those are both really nice ones as well.
And outside of that, I mean, lemons do great here. Limes do great here. There's
well, you know, one of the five C's of Arizona, right?
Citrus.
That's right. You know, along with cotton and corn and cattle and copper.
Climate.
Oh, all right, climate. So maybe there's six of them, but you know,
wasn't that the cattle?
I think they've upped it to seven.
Oh.
Uh-oh. What's the seventh?
Canyons.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Tricky.
Seven seas
of Arizona.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So really, any kind of citrus that you want to grow here is going to grow if you do it right. So, and we'll talk in a little while about doing that right.
And taking it from an orchard setting into a home urban setting, there's a few things to consider.
Yeah, so it's different. So this is what we like to call urban orcharding. urban, you know, in the city. And the biggest thing we want to do in urban orcharding is we want to keep our trees small. Now, this isn't a rule because, you know, I've got a couple of large citrus and a large apple tree in my yard that I purposely chose for shade purposes to let grow big.
And people think, well, no, I can't go small. I need all that fruit. Well, if you've ever seen a big fruit, I mean, I can't tell you how many times we went to my grandparents' house. They had three big ones. We couldn't leave without filling two or three bags. And he had eight kids, and everyone was leaving with
produce. Right, exactly.
It's a small tree is going to still produce more than you're probably going to eat.
Exactly, exactly. Plus, you know, if you have a peach tree that's 30 feet tall, in the city, generally that peach at the top of the 30-foot tall peach tree is what? It's bird food.
Bird food.
That's right. It's for the birds. Here's the thing. A peach tree all ripens at the same time. So if you get a standard-sized peach tree and you get 200 or 300 pounds of peaches all at once, can you pick them all, number one? What are you going to do with them all? In the same footprint of that one large tree, I can plant three, four, or five different varieties of peach trees that ripen at different times. When they're ripening at different times, it's called successive ripening. So if you have a small tree, 8 feet tall, 8 feet wide maximum, and it's giving you 50 pounds of peaches, if you put in three or four or five different varieties, over the course of 60 to maybe 90 days, you're going to get 50 pounds and 50 pounds and 50 pounds and 50 pounds, which is more than enough. Plus, they taste a little bit different. They act a little bit different. So
a little variety.
Sorry?
A little variety.
A little variety. Exactly.
And much more easy to manage and harvest. And
right. So it's the managing, harvesting thing. It's, you know, it's really... It's really about making it easier for us. Plus, you know, generally, we don't have acres in our yards. You know, if you have a third of an acre and you put four standard citrus trees or peach trees or fruit trees on your property, that's about all you get. I have about 70 different varieties of fruit trees on my property.
And the lot and size?
Third of an acre. It's 80 feet
70
wide.
70 trees on a third of an acre.
Yeah.
And you have a house on that third of an acre.
And I have a house on the third of an acre as well. It is flood irrigated. It is flood irrigated. But
well, thank goodness, because we haven't had measurable rain since August 10th. We had a quarter of an inch.
Yeah.
And we've had four trace events since then.
Yeah.
So flood irrigation is pretty handy. We'll go through these periods of 90 and 100-day dry spells.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So keeping them small allows for them, you know, managing them from the birds. They're easy picking. They're easy to prune. I mentioned the consecutive harvesting.
Do you have a chipper? What do you do with your prune limbs?
Yeah, seriously. Trimming 70 trees.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I just recently got a chipper, and I'm very excited about
it. Yeah.
It just arrived. It's actually over at Lawn King getting repaired right now because it was a used one. So I had him service it over there at Lawn King.
Nice. Yeah. I've been dreaming about a chipper.
Yeah? Yeah, well, you should with your acreage, absolutely.
Yeah, right now it's just the leaves or the limbs just pile up in big bunches, and there's an occasional bonfire that happens somehow. I'm not exactly sure.
Oh, there you go. There
spontaneously combust out there. But here's one. How much I could just chip it right back in, and it's its own mulch right on top.
Exactly. Exactly. Here's one thing. You know, people put bird netting over trees, and that is the last thing you want to do. You never want to use bird netting. People say, what? Well, here's the deal. Bird netting tangles with the tree. It will mercilessly tangle up in the tree, and it kills birds. You want to use something else. It's called tulle, T-U-L-L-E. It's the what you buy at the fabric store for tutus and veils and that kind of stuff. And you just, you know, drape it over, connect it underneath, and that's how, if you want to net your trees, that's the best way to do it.
And you can do that if you're managing them at 8 feet. If you've got this 30-foot tree, there's no way to do that.
Exactly.
So, tool.
Exactly.
Now, do you have where do you buy your tool?
I actually don't.
Okay.
I have enough fruit trees on the property, and I manage them quick enough.
They have theirs, and you have yours?
You know, I've been growing fruit trees here in the valley since 1975. I've been seriously growing fruit trees since 1989. And when I look at a peach, I can tell you within about 24 hours when it's going to be ripe. So I get out there, you know,
You're
right as it's getting ripe. And
the sun's coming up.
Exactly.
You got your bucket.
Yep.
You got your pruning stick.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly. I'll tell you what, I cannot eat a peach, an apricot, or a plum from the grocery store anymore. I just can't do it. Because when you walk out to your peach tree out in the backyard, and there's a perfectly ripe peach, and you tug on it, and it drops in your hand. And you take, you know, you look at it and feel it.
Feel the fuzzy skin and stick your teeth in. And
yeah,
your,
and it's
juice
and
starts coming
literally
off your elbow.
Explodes across the front of you. That is a ripe peach. You can't get those in the store. You can't get those in
no,
the store.
No, because so. By the time they would pick them, truck them, stock them, they'd right. be compost.
There you go.
I have a little tip for you on the tool.
Uh-huh.
The T-U-L-L-E.
Right.
Sass Fabrics, they're in Tucson and in Phoenix, and you can just get bulk material for not very much.
Yeah, exactly.
It's great stuff.
Yeah.
Sass.
S-A-S.
All right.
Yeah.
Very good.
There you go.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you if you'd like to join the conversation about urban orcharding. We're going to be talking about fruit tree programs, three ways to kill your fruit trees, planting process, and your calls at 1-888-767-4348. You can text questions to 411-923, or if you have a picture you want to send, you know, sometimes these fruit trees can have you know, maybe leaves curling on the end, or your apples are kind of browning on the edge, or you've got a little bit of yellowing in some of your citrus, and you want to...
A lot of that is just summer heat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, all of that goes to how you take care of your trees. Because it's really, I found over and over and over again that there's really one way to kill your trees, and it's the person taking care of the tree. The tree doesn't get taken care of.
We got to get some tagline for you stolen off of that horse whisperer where he calls the lady and he says, are you the guy that helps people with horse problems? And he's like, no. I'm the guy that helps horses with people problems.
Exactly.
We need to get some knockoff on that for
exactly.
you for fruit trees.
Right.
But you can send those pictures to info@rosieonthehouse.com.